What is happening, Dolphins fans? And welcome to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Tonight on the tailgate party that never seems to stop, I'm back home. I was gone this weekend, of course. You know, the one weekend I'm out of town, the Tua Tagovailoa news and contract comes. I predicted it was going to come right around this time. I also predicted some other stuff, as well as reported on some stuff all the way back in May. That was correct, and we're going to get into all that as well. Hit the like button on the way in. Subscribe if you're new. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify or anywhere you get your podcast world, make sure to make the journey over here to YouTube, The Fins Tailgate, and subscribe over here and get into the chats and, you know, be a part of the family and the programming around here. We're also going to get into camp, talk a little bit about that, get a little caught up on some of the early reports about camp. And, you know, today was the first day that the public could be there at camp. We've got on eyewitness on the field out there taking notes, observing everything. You know him, you love him. Color commentary going to come up here and do some co-hosting with me on tonight's show. Hit the like button on the way in, and we're going to get right into it.
Turner Yell makes the stop in the secondary for Denver. First and 10. The fake. Good. Block in there, and down it goes. Caught at the 30. This is the dynamic hill. He's in for six. Tyreek Hill. Touchdown.
To your hands a plan, your own hands can land your own brand, and damn, I feel like no one takes accountability. They want the credibility, convincingly unwilling to put in the hours it takes to get some power. Don't be f***ing sour, take a cold shower, scream until you're louder, work until you're prouder, and f*** all the doubters, they're just your downers. I swear to God they all let me down, I always fought just to wear the crown. I'm off, it's these f***ing clowns who were all taught they deserve it now.
Yes, welcome. Welcome back to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Again, like I stated, back in town, back in the swing of things, and back is football. Football is on. I mean, we are in it. This is it. It is the beginning of the end of the offseason, right? We're talking camp. We're talking fun. We're talking, you know, hotter than a muh at the stadium, but we coming out anyhow. It is ready. We're going to have the clanging and banging of the pads and helmets. Lots of stuff, chance for people to look at the rookies, see what kind of impact, who's flashing, who's not, who's flashing for the right reasons, who's flashing for the wrong reasons. You know, Tua Tagovailoa signed, finally. We don't have to talk about the same thing we've been talking about the last 5 months. A relief, a sigh of relief. What is this contract? Is it a good contract? Is it a bad contract? Did the Miami Dolphins get fleeced? Early details coming out about the contract, and we're going to get into all of them because, to me, excellent work, Miami Dolphins. Excellent work. The numbers are looking extremely favorable. And we're going to get into all that stuff because I want to talk about it. Fair deal. I thought the Dolphins made out. And by the early reports that I had, the Dolphins did make out on a lower level. There was a price point, and they figured it out. It wasn't a five-year extension like I knew that they were looking to get. It ended up being a four. And we're going to look at how this money is utilized and a little bit of language in the contract is coming out. We're going to talk all about that stuff, man. Shout out to everybody here in the live chat on YouTube. Marino's go in here early. Good friend and ambassador of the program, Chef Zhu in here. What's up? EM sliding in through here. EM Dolphin. Salute. And then our good friend, Tua Side Hotline, a.k.a. Josh Allen lover, a.k.a. Bills fan, a.k.a. Michael K., the resident Bills fan here in the live chat on YouTube, sends a donation. He says, Hopefully he helps with his Kleenex bill to wipe the tears of disappointment caused by Dudfin's 2024 season. So essentially a week dig. This was not one of your best, Michael K. There's been much better, funnier lines from you, but hopefully Tua Tagovailoa with all that money can pay for the Kleenex bill of Miami Dolphins fans that cry at the end of seasons because of failure. That's the joke, right? Did I pick it up? I said it in a much more legible task. Thank you for the comment, Michael K., but wasn't one of your best, not going to lie. Hit the like button, everybody, on the way in, and let's get into it. I'm going to bring Color up here right now because, you know, Color is going to co-host tonight with me. And what's up, man? Color was at camp today, so we're going to get to some eyewitness reviews and what people look like and what he noticed at camp. Seen a couple of the peeps down there. Miss Fins is down there. Salute Miss Fins. TD was lurking around those parts. Other people, I know one of the homies over on X who's come around here a couple. Andy was lurking around out there. But we're gonna get in that in the second part of the show. First thing I want to get into is this Tua Tagovailoa deal, Color.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to all the Spotifyers and Apple nerds and who else we running on, man. We got podcast feed going on now. We're talking to real people now.
We're on every single pod. If you're listening to a podcast and looking for Dolphins content, you're gonna find us. That's how it is now.
Not that our beloved YouTube audience isn't real or nothing, but
they're super real because they'll come up on the panels and tell us how they feel about the team and about, well, like Michael K in chat and some others of him from other teams. They tell us about how terrible our team is how great their football team is.
Yeah, but you know, it's great. I really look forward to talking to everybody out there as we expand avenues, you know, for people to actually hear us. That's great, man.
I will say this, Color, and I heard back from the producer and HB, and he told me that on some of the we've only got like two episodes loaded up right now. And on the Spotify and Apple and stuff like that, we're getting hits in France, Belgium.
Wow.
I'll
have to get on it.
France, Belgium, Germany, a couple of other places that I forget. There was a couple other ones that he said. I know we get plenty of people. Oddly enough, we've got Netherlands, big fans.
Wow.
Finn's Tailgate. This is on the YouTube side. We stretch out.
You know, Netherlands, man. It's always 420 in the Netherlands, bro.
They're hanging tight, buddy. There's some Miami Dolphins fans all over the globe. You would be surprised at the percentages when I show, if I were to go through all of them, of places that Japan, Venezuela, Costa Rica, all over.
Well, we got Venezuelans in the 305 listening to us too, so that's pretty cool.
Truth be told, I mean, I'm sure they're letting their homies know back home, you want to hear more Dolphin stuff, here it is. So yeah, we're doing that whole thing too now, podcasts all over the place.
So camp today, first of all,
we're not going to go into camp yet. We're going to go into camp.
I had to put that out there. It was absolutely strikingly hot today.
Well, I'll tell you this, Color, and we didn't talk about it when we were talking earlier, but I just got back from the Panhandle, right? Looking at maybe relocating over there for work next year to a big project. And this will be the last. I've relocated a couple times these past couple of years, you know, trying to find my flow, dog. And I think this might be the spot. It was really dope. And I'll tell you what, wasn't humid like it is in South Florida. Wasn't humid like it is here in Central Florida. It was really nice.
You think you may be maybe migrating over to the Panhandle?
Very well may happen, buddy. I really liked what I seen. I really did. I like what I seen. I don't like that I'm getting further away from South Florida, in which case means I'll have to figure out some kind of flight to get to the games. But I mean,
yeah, but you get closer to being an Alabama fan.
I mean, well, I'll tell you what, there's a couple things you've seen a lot of. Seen in that area up in the Panhandle, see a lot of Mississippi, a lot of Alabama, Georgia,
yeah.
Louisiana and Texas, all those people that live in those states that vacation to the Gulf and the beaches come to Florida's Panhandle. And
that includes right up the Mississippi to Arkansas and Missouri. I can't tell you how many people I met in Missouri that vacation on like Fort Walton Beach, you know, like places mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, Destin's a huge one. So, but it's very pretty over there, bro. And, you know, I kind of liked it.
It's no man's land. It's where all the hurricanes have been going lately.
I'm from South Florida. I ain't scared of hurricanes.
Exactly. You're like, the moment you move there, they'll stop going there.
That's right. They're scared of me.
That's the one thing I noticed when I was younger. I moved up to Ocala area.
Come get yourself some hurricane.
And as soon as I moved up to Ocala, they had like two hurricanes hit West Palm like consecutively that year that I moved up to Ocala. I'm like, oh, okay. I just got to move back home and everything will be cool again. You know?
So,
Tua, first of all, congratulations.
Yes. Color.
Big time. I mean, life changing money for even at the level it was, you know what I mean?
So I'm out of town, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, comes across my newsfeed. I put it into our TFTG group chat, you know, the team group chat of all the players over here. And I want to say HB released it on TFTGnetwork.com, our website as well. I'm not sure. I think he did because he's been updating that website like crazy. He's been a mad scientist lately. He's been getting on these late night kicks on the weekends, just piling stuff. And
that's from what I understand, that's the easiest way to find our podcast links too, right?
That's right. All of our podcasts will, you know, you can go to the website from the podcast world to the website to YouTube, from YouTube to the website to find all the podcasts. It's happening. I told you about this years ago, how we're gonna have to do this and conquer it bit by bit. We've spread ourselves thin in some places, but we're you know, we now have. Yeah,
it's like TFTG's District of Columbia. It's like our centralized location for all that is TFTG.
Home base is YouTube, for where the content started. But we're building our dream house on the website, and it's going to have all the things that are connected to it.
That'll be our capital city.
Yeah, because I mean, listen, we've had to delete content for whatever reasons and mm-hmm. different places. You know, we've lost stuff.
What happened the other night?
The other night, somebody came up on camera and was inappropriate on a show that was very long. That was very great and funny show. These long shows usually are some of the best shows. But they're not going to be able. They can't stick around. I got to get on them, take them out, put them out, and put them on ice. But there's going to probably be a way in the future where you're going to be able to go and find that show on the website. And be cool. You know what I'm saying? That's it. We're going to figure this out. So,
we may even have to put those big panels behind a paywall in order to get away with some of the language we use on those panels too. You know what I mean?
That's another thing. We don't have the subscriber base.
We
want
to put it behind a paywall, but because we don't want to be beholden to advertisers when it comes to the things we can say and do and whatever
not just
else.
Advertisers, but just what's following protocol for all of these.
Well, deep common decency too. You know.
Yeah, there's public decency laws that you know.
If you want to see debauchery in this country, you got to pay for it. You're making a statement to the bureaucracy that I am willing to pay for this debauchery, so it's all on me.
That's right.
I can't then say that I looked at obscene material.
It's hard because there's no lines here in the interweb between the dark web and the bad the bad stuff that comes with it to the good stuff that comes with it. But on these streaming programs,
what the hell could get so obscene with football talk?
Can get real bad, bro. Can get real bad. So for our new listeners and stuff like that, I can get for our newer listeners, it can get pretty dicey. But, you know, hey, have fun.
But again, congratulations to the Tua. Freaking life-changing money. I do have to once again remind everybody, and I can clip this because it was probably within the last 3 weeks that I said it verbatim, that Chris Greer's mission here was to try to show the Tua fans, the extreme Tua fans, because I'm a fan too, that, hey, he's making more money than Goff. I even said something to the effect of when Darlington reported that our ultimate amount would be Jared Goff money. And I remember this reminding everybody of that. And I said, Tua's probably saying, look, man, give me something more than Goff so I can at least go to my fans and say, look, everybody, I'm paid more than Goff. But I'm not actually paid more than Goff in guarantees. And that is precisely what happened. Tua coming in at $0.1 million more than Jared Goff on the overall gross amount of the contract, where he comes in one place behind him in actual guaranteed money. Exactly what I said would happen. Exactly what I said that Greer was maneuvering for.
I mean, Color, I remember there's, first of all, been right on a lot of stuff. And way back when, I would say sometime in May, right? I remember, you know, talking and having conversations with some people about things that, you know, make things privy to me at times. All the way back in like April, you know, March, April, stuff like that, about what type of money they were going to be asking for. Mm-hmm. And what type of money Tua Tagovailoa was ultimately feeling like he deserved and what they wanted. Now, right around that time in May, I had released a breakdown of pretty much a consolidation of information that kept lining up over and over and over again to where mm-hmm. I felt comfortable enough to report on what the asking price was. And I felt at the time, and we broke it down back in May when I got this report about what it was. And I'm just going to, you know, pull it up real quick because I've got it here. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I reported on it. It's May 20th when I put it out there for public consumption. It said rumors flying about Tua Tagovailoa's asking price. Reports state 5 years, $265 million. Ooh. That's in total monies.
So this was what Athletes First was bringing to the table.
$215 million in guaranteed monies. $53 million a year. Now, just let's just think about this real quick. All right. I'm going to do the math. I'm going to pull out my phone and do the math, right? So we'll find out what the it's $53 million a year in total money, right? We've already established that. So 5 years.
53.1.
That's right. 53.1 million a year. Okay. So if you took $53.1 million a year and times it by five, you're going to get your $265. Okay. If you now have $215 divided by five, that's $43 million a year in guaranteed. Now, what did you say that Goff was making a year in guarantees, Color?
I don't know what the exact number is. Now, we're talking about the non-fully guaranteed, which was $167 million for Tua. And Goff comes in just a little bit higher than that, like 171 or something like that, or 170 or something like that.
Let me see if I've got it, because I wrote it all down.
It came out on a meme that was put out by Schefter or Beasley or somebody, along with the other meme that showed he was making 0.1 million more than Goff on the overall annual.
Yes, I want to say Goff.
Basically, Tua has the ability, and his fans have the ability, to where they can go to bed at night and clutch their Tua fix and be like, "Oh, thank God we didn't get less than Goff, because he's better than Goff, and they're sure he's better than Goff." And I don't agree with them. That's fine, but they're sure of it, so they get to go to bed at night knowing that Tua is making more than Goff. His contract was bigger than Goff's. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
yet the Dolphins get to go to bed at night knowing that they're not, they didn't just break the bank and screw themselves over for the next 4 years.
So anyhow, Tua ends up signing a 4-year deal. And I'm going to pull it up real quick. A 4-year extension for $112 million.
212.
So what
happens to be the boiling point of water?
Really?
Yeah, 212 degrees, yeah.
Is it 212.4? Because that would be crazy.
I'm not sure what the decimal point is on it, but that would be crazy.
Yes. Now,
Fahrenheit,
reported,
for our,
reported in guaranteed monies on that $212.4 million deal is a little bit more of a round figure. What was the reported number? I just had it, Color. Let me hold on. Let me pull it up.
4 years, $212 million.
Yes.
167 guaranteed.
167. That's the number. So 167 divided by 4 equals 41.75 million a year. So that's a little lower in guaranteed dollars from what they wanted. It's 1 year less and a little bit lower than what was asked. The price point on the $53 million a year, we're talking, I don't want to say it's peanuts, right? We're talking, what, $5 million, $8 million max in difference of dollars. We're talking $1.25 million over 4 years. So that's, what, $5 million? And then if they got a fifth year and you added the 1.25, so it would be $6.25 million at the price point they wanted. The real kicker is they didn't get a fifth year on that deal, creating a 6-year total new deal. What they did is they took the price point, went a little lower, and took a 4-year extension. Now, the details of this contract coming out a lot different because we got to remember, right? Tua was guaranteed a fifth-year option of $23 million, okay? The new money that Tua Tagovailoa is owed over the next 4 years is only $93 million. Now, I've been stating for a minute now that whether Tua signs a 5-year deal, which I've always thought it was going to be a 5-year ask, he was going to get $110 million or more dollars plus the $23 million he was already going to get in year in the fifth year. The Dolphins didn't do that. They didn't give him that. Matter of fact, they gave him pretty much $110 million over the next 5 years is what they did. Because 93, what is it? 93.171. So 93.171 plus $23 million. He got $116 million guaranteed over the next 5 years and guaranteed dollars, which is not, and that's fully guaranteed. So there is the difference that when you see $167 million in guaranteed, the fully guaranteed is actually 93. Dolphins made out like, dude, that's better. That's every bit as good as the Trevor Lawrence deal. Now, God, I wish I could find my notes on this Trevor Lawrence deal. Talk it up for a second, Color, because I got to find the notes on it.
Because there's also a subtle brilliance involved here, too, because I know we got a lot of detractors in our chat, and I'm sure Bishop would be one of the first people to answer this question. You know, I know Michael Kay, the Buffalo fan, would, and a few others. What's the thing that we want Tua to do? What is not just Tua, the whole team, but in regards to, you know, whether, you know, Tua can come through and earn the money and whatever else, what's the one thing we want them to do? We want them to
win big games.
Win playoff games, stay healthy again. You know what I mean? And we want him to, you know, honestly, a lot of us are all about, yeah, win a playoff game. Jimmy says it. But a lot of us are also about, yo, we're in a Super Bowl window here. And well, Bishop nailed it too, because if you ask the average two and ear what they expect and what they believe will happen, they'll all tell you we're winning a Super Bowl this year. go on Twitter right now and you see it. It's locked. This is our year. Tua's going to bring us home to the promised land. Okay, fine. And the point I'm trying to make is that no matter what part of that you agree, disagree with, all of it, none of it, whatever, the contract is literally built so that if that stuff happens, Tua gets the 167. I mean, you've got incentives like 50% of the season plus a playoff win, 50% of the season plus Super Bowl. So that means he could do the Earl Morrill thing. Here's the thing. It protects Miami from injury, but it also protects Tua from injury. In other words, things happen. You know, he might miss a game or two, or hell, he could even, according to the contract, he could miss 8 games. And if we were to do the Earl Morrill thing where, you know, Tua gets injured, and I knock on wood, I'm not calling for this to happen. I'm saying if we were to do the Earl Morrill thing and Tua played 9 games, came back in the playoffs, and won a playoff game, that would qualify for a bonus. If he then also played 50% of the season and wins a Super Bowl, that qualifies for a bonus. So that 167 of the quote-unquote guaranteed, that's not all fully guaranteed, those guarantees come by way of Tua doing exactly what we all want him to do. That is brilliant.
And we're gonna get into the minutia of it here. And you said something there too. Now we've been talking about this on this program all offseason. I know I have. That if you're looking at the guys that the Dolphins have signed and have under contract and have reworked, which is why that Tyreek Hill's probably going to get a rework either, you know, before this season starts, during the season, or at the end of the season. Because what's painfully obvious is that the Dolphins have pivoted themselves into a couple-year window. They're setting up for a potential change out for the 2026 or 2027 season. Everything they have points to either A, we're going to double down in 2026 and 2027, or we're going to purge this roster and go in a different direction.
And whatever money we get in dead cap or lose because of this Tua deal will just be money that we're paying because we draft a rookie and he's on a rookie deal and don't have to pay him. So it's no different than what the Packers have done with Rodgers, where they're still paying Rodgers, but because they didn't have to pay Love yet, that was okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there is that type of potential game plan play as well. Because
hold on. People that don't want us to be screwed out of the money if he fails, you know what I mean?
On the face of it, right, it looks like there's a hard line drawn in the sand for the Dolphins heading into the 2026 season to either A, pivot off of Tua. Tua's going to be here 2024 and 2025, okay? And how the contract and guaranteed dollars and effectiveness is pretty much going to be how if they played him on his fifth year and franchise tagged him. And then the way in which the 26 season could come in would essentially also be a franchise tag. Now they can get rid of him and carry like $25 million in dead cap each of the next 2 years, and they could pivot off it. But here's the thing about 2026. They have a lot of cap space in 2026 right now. And they're still good with cap today, and they're going to have more cap next year. I think the Dolphins are doing very well with the money at this point. They could potentially say, you know what, we're going to let you ride your 2026, and then in 2027, they could walk away from him along with a bunch of other people and move in a different direction. Or they're all in prime position to, like I said, double down and continue. If the Dolphins find themselves on a deep playoff competitive run, they can take this next 3 years, the 2024, 2025, and 2026 season, and they say, you know what, we want this at any given point between now and then, at any given point, they can add 27 and 28 to the plan and be really in control of the cap.
Right.
Really, the thing that could screw them is
create a situation where they could come in at no lower than like $34 million a year. If, in other words, if Tua proves out, okay, to be the guy, And we go end up having to immediately restructure because of these balloons that come right up early. Then what happens is the way they could work it leaves us having to pay no less than $34 million, roughly. I'm just, it's the exact numbers are right around there. Okay. The point being, and it even got calculated as high as like 37, 38. But here's the thing. The current franchise tag is $38 million bucks. So what happens is they get in a situation where they can restructure it in a way where they're consistently each year coming in at about $4 or $5 million less than what the franchise tag is going to be for that given year. So we've effectively prepaid for a couple franchise tags and controlled that cost. So if you want to define Tua as a franchise quarterback because of that, then you're absolutely fair to. That is what makes a franchise quarterback, not what people want to call him that or believing in him and all that other stuff. The fact that you prepaid franchise tags and controlled your cost, and ultimately, because Marty makes a good point. You're basically saying here to it, if you do what we need you to do, you get paid.
And so Marty Marr in the live chat.
Yeah. So what that's effectively saying is, if he proves out, there isn't that, oh, now it's going to be $65 million. No, we've already contracted him for what he gets paid if he balls out. That's prepaid. We have now controlled that cost, that loss, because it's a loss. If he balls out, it's a financial loss for Miami. But we are now able to control what that loss is and minimize it by doing it like we did it this year and potentially restructuring if he does prove out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely, I think it's, like you said backstage before the show, I think it guarantees Chris Greer's job for at least until 2027.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that it painfully shows to me, which I'm fine with, right? I know there's plenty of Chris Greer haters. Again, I have been displeased with him at times, but I can remember the Jeff Ireland and, I mean, God, dude, all of the poor management we've had around here, even before Ross, got the team. Yes, there is some stuff I wish he would draft a little bit better. A lot of questionable draft picks, to me personally. But his free agent signings, his contract manipulation, and the way in which he's managed this team. Yeah, some of it's a little shady. Some of it's been, whatever. But the stability as far as this, the trend of this team since he's been the last guy to say whatever, the full manager of it, has gone nowhere but north, and it continues to do so. And he also now, like we were saying about this window, it's ensured that he's going to be here to either see this through or change it. And
right
now we're not with this Tua deal and everyone else already under contract. We are heading for this 3-year window to continue this stuff. And that's essentially what we've been saying around here for months.
Right. Right.
That we need to go ahead and just sign Tua because we've got in young talent. We've got in, middle-aged talent. We've got older talent with young guys, hopefully coming up to replace, all up and down this football team, the team for the next 3 to 4 years and beyond, depending on how they draft, how players under contract perform, Tua being one, Waddle being another, guys like Javon Holland, does he get re-signed? You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that stuff at a later date, but it only further pontificates the fact that this is the Dolphins today that you're seeing by and large, for 2024, 2025, 2026. Mm-hmm. And that's the deal.
And I just want to shout out that Dolphins realtor real quick. We don't have any exclusive sponsors. And I'm always a fan of the you know, the little guy. And that Dolphins realtor, if you need any, have any real estate needs in the pretty much, I think, all of Florida, hit him up on Twitter. He'll take care of you. But he says, Colors still on the quote, if he proves it out to be the guy, unquote. And I know where you're coming from. I know you're just, you know, you're just trolling me, realtor, but to be fair, we'll get to why I'm starting to have a feeling that he may be able to accomplish those bonuses when we start to talk about the things I'm seeing in camp. So I'm not saying that, and again, somebody else followed that up with, you know, they believe in him, and yeah, they wouldn't have given him the contract if they didn't believe he could. In other words, when all that stuff that he has to prove, they obviously believe he will, or they would not have given him the contract. However, the fact that they put all lace that with incentives tells you that it's only a belief and it's not a 100% projection on their part. So they're protecting. They're saying, yeah, we do believe in him. That's why we won't want to pay a whole arm and a leg next year. We're going to go ahead and do it now and control that cost because we do believe in him. So I don't think saying that they control the cost or whatever and all that is saying they don't believe in him. They absolutely do, or they wouldn't have done all that. They wouldn't have protected themselves if they didn't, you know.
And here's a little bit of stuff. We're going to start breaking down the contract now. So here's a little bit of what the Dolphins did to what I can perceive to be sweeten the pot for Tua, as far as giving him money now and him being secured. But also they've drawn this line in the sand at 2026. But in doing that line that I'm going to read off to you and how this contract is structured, they've also given him more than he would have earned if he would have played on his fifth year and been franchised. So, because right now he's getting 23 in his fifth year, and if they were to franchise tag him next year, it would be like, say, 45, right? So then we can safely say he would have $68 million between 2024 and 2025 if there was not a contract come to. So what the Dolphins have done in this $212.4 million four-year extension, that's important, right? Because a four-year extension means 2025, 2026, 2027, and 2028. Tua's already here for 2024 under his fifth-year option. So this is Tua over the next 5 years at $212.4 million extension. Now, the guaranteed dollars that are being reported on is a guaranteed amount of what you said, Color, 167, right? That was right. The number? Yeah, so $167.1 million are in what are known as practical guarantees. So what the Dolphins have done, they at time of signing, fully guaranteed at signing, is 93.171, which is significantly lower than a lot of people have signed for. To give you an idea, fully guaranteed, hold on, Color, fully guaranteed at signing, Jalen Hurts was $110 million fully guaranteed at signing.
Really quick, just to clarify, because this was a point of contention on the show the other night, and I want to clarify, I don't think you were there for this. That $93
million. Yes.
Fully guaranteed at signing. Mm-hmm. Do they write him a check for $93 million, or is that still parted out?
So that's still parted out. So what Tua got the day of signing? He got $42 million.
Correct.
When he signed that contract, he got $42 million.
Check for $42 million. Right.
Now, upon signing that contract, he is already guaranteed two other checks coming his way. So he got $42 million at signing. Hold on, let's see. The remaining, by the way, of $42 million at the signing bonus, his 2024 salary, 2025 salary, and a $25 million offseason roster bonus are all fully guaranteed, pretty much guaranteeing 2024 and 2025 for a grand total of $93.17 million, which ranks 12th amongst all contracts, while a sub 40 value of total guarantees, which is 39.5, it is quite a bit less than recent near top and market quarterback contracts to hit the books. To give you an idea of what I'm saying, okay, fully guaranteed at signing for Trevor Lawrence deal was $142 million. Now, Trevor Lawrence will get all of that $142 million in the exact same time frame Tua will, meaning he will play his fourth year, his fifth year, his sixth year, and he'll have earned that $142 million. Now, he has guaranteed at signing of total guarantees, Trevor Lawrence does, of $202 million, which if he plays his second and third year of his extension, he'll hit that $202 million, where there's a potential out that they won't owe him the $275 million. They won't owe him $75 million. This is the Jaguar. Dolphins, the money per year, when you take it over a seven-year span for Trevor Lawrence, and you do the same for Tua Tagovailoa in the guaranteed dollars, it's significantly less. So let's just say over the next 2 years, Color, he's getting, what was it again? 90. Let's hold on. I just had it. 93.171 divided by two. He's going to make $46.5 million a year and guaranteed over the next 2 years. That's that's a fair enough number. Now, say Tua is here for the length of this contract with the money that he signed in guaranteed dollars, which he could earn all of the guarantees looking like. Let me see if I can read this right. Calculate the practical guarantees. So if he were to make it through the 2027 season, he would make the full 167.1, in which the Dolphins would then owe him. They would start paying in 2028 towards the remainder of the $212.4 million. Okay, so let's divide 167.1 divided by 4 equals 41.775. Over the next 4 years.
And we've already covered 46 of it.
We've already covered, 46 of it. So they would only need to pay him $41 more million. Now the cap hits come in a different way, and the money per year cash flow that the Dolphins now have to, because they gave him $42 million up front, that gets spread out over 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028. Now the Dolphins have maneuvered themselves in a way where I'm going to break down the cap flow or cash flow of each of these years. Okay. Tua will earn $149.1 million through the 2026 season if he's still here, which that's really where it gets a little bit, because it goes from $94.1 million over the first 2 years, and then it jumps up another 50-something million. So what? Here's how it'll go, because they've already guaranteed 2024 and 2025. So 2024, it's $43.125 million that Tua will make in cash. 2025, which is already guaranteed to him, $51 million. 2026, it's $55 million that's guaranteed to him. While 2027, there's only $37 million guaranteed to him, which really kind of puts the Dolphins in a position that either A, they could get off of Tua in 2026 and spread out that dead cap and only have had to pay him $94 million. But Tua's also bet on himself to say that if he's played good enough in 2024 and 2025, that the Dolphins can restructure his deal, spread out that $55 million to the 2027 year and 2028 year, which 2028 is a little bit more at 49.4. But in this scenario, Tua would be asking to have a contract extension being into 2029, in which case that would open up the door for all the rest of the money that they can maneuver around. Mm-hmm. So it's really put the Dolphins in a position where they're going to pay Tua a decent amount more than if he were to play his 2025 and get franchise tagged over the next 2 years.
Right.
In which case, if 2026 rolls around, they can either A, move and have X amount of money spread out over the next 3 years to pay him to lower their cap hit, which it only brings the cap hit to like $25 million each of the next 2 years, in which case they're done. Or they can reconfigure, or they could just say, fine, we're going to take the $55 million cap hit, which wouldn't really be the worst case scenario for them.
Right.
If that was where they wanted to go, if they were like, okay, we need to see a little bit more, cap's going to go up. Right now, they're projected at $110 million in 2026 minus his 55. Now they've got 50-something million, and that's without the cap moving up over the next 2 years. So they could be between cuts of whomever and trades or whatever happens, they could be, you know, still fine paying him $55 million and still have $45-50 million in cap left over to do whatever they please to fill out the remainder of their roster. Right.
And Sal asks what's good enough, and what's good enough is written right in the contract.
Well, that's right. Cause there is a lot of bonus. There is a lot of bonuses that Tua can make. So he's getting 50% of the regular season snaps plus a wild card win. He'll get $250,000 bonus.
Right.
If he gets 50% of the NFL snaps and a divisional round win, he'll get a $500,000 bonus, 50% of the regular season snaps plus a conference championship win, $500,000, and a Super Bowl win, he'll get $1 million. Okay. So Tua plays half a season and runs through the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl, he'll get another $2.5 million, depending on how many divisional games he has to play. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's money to be made for him. There's also spread out on the sign-on bonuses as well. So here's a nice article written in Sports Track, and it discusses a potential out discussion. It says Miami was able to draw a pretty thick line in the sand after 2026 here, even after they convert $25 million roster bonus for next season into the signing bonus, and assuming there's no other conversation, the Dolphins will only be strapped with $34.8 million of dead cap to move on before the 2027 campaign. $3 million of that comes in the form of fully guaranteed in the 2027 salary. So in 2027 should be the line of, let me see, should be a big line for both sides here. If it's not working out, the Dolphins can and will bail. If it's working out really good, Tua and his people should be really aggressive in seeking an extension after the 2026 season, especially with only $37 million allocated to the 2027 season. Again, the next 3 years are all but certain to happen because of how the cap is going to play. Gives the Dolphins things to look at in 2026. They can ride out 2027. And if the answers aren't made in 2027 that they were willing to ride out from the 2026 season, they can go their separate ways on both sides. And there's not going to be a lot to stop the team again in so many words. This will immediately become one of the more polarizing, closely watched contracts in 2024, as Tua's injury history and lack of playoff production kept many followers wondering if the extension should have ever happened in the first place. So let's play it out and see what the Dolphins let's play it out this way. The Dolphins and Tua don't agree on an extension. His holdout. Never mind. This is all hypothetical nonsense. I'm going to read this. Under these new terms, Tua will likely earn $149+ million over the next three seasons, plus $3 million payout guaranteed in 2027. That gets him to $152 million over the next 3 years. If the Dolphins moved off of him, he'll still get a $3 million payout. So Tua's going to make $152 million over the next 3 years. That's without hitting any bonuses. So, I mean, 152 divided by 3 is $50 million a year. So he's got to be pretty happy about that. He got his money. He's a $50 million a year quarterback over the next 3 years. That
if that's what he is, that's what he'll be paid.
That's what he's going to get. Well, he can get more too if he hits some of these benchmarks, and he's going to make this money. And the Dolphins are able to take the next 3 years, giving him $150 million, and spread it out in a 5-year sample size, and move off of him if they don't like him after 3 years, or they could then double down in the 2027 season and beyond, like we've been saying, and figure out a way to take the dead cap that they're carrying from the 153 that he's earned over those 3 years, and, you know, add on to it with the extension.
And of course, if you're caught in between and you find yourself as Chris Greer in a situation where you're not sure again next year, but he's still marketable, then the contract is perfectly tradable.
Well, because it is, you know what it is in a nutshell? It is a market value for a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, exactly, and then some. It is a fair value
with a smidgen for everyone of faith, involved. Right. With a smidgen of faith.
Yes. I would say the Dolphins, from what I was hearing, what they really wanted to give him, gave in. And from what Athletes First and Tua's people wanted, it really sounds like everybody met in the middle, and that everyone was more comfortable in pretty much guaranteeing the next 3 years, them wanting to have open door policy so they can go to 5, 4, 5, 6, and 7 years. And Tua and his camp was like, we want these types of securities, which was $50 million, which is more than the Dolphins needed, because they could go, all right, we're going to pay your fifth year. We're going to franchise tag you. And we're going to franchise tag you again. What they have done is they said, we're going to give you all of this money guaranteed plus more over this next 3 years. And everyone seemed to be happy. I feel like it was a great deal. And now, am I going to feel like it's a great deal if, God, you know, protect them, something bad happens? No, but in where we sit currently today, how Tua has played for the most part over the last two seasons, you got to be pleased with the future with him at quarterback and how it looks. And I don't feel like the Dolphins lost this deal at all. You want to go ahead? Shout out to a member for 15 months now, Roberto Valdez. Go ahead and read that.
So Roberto Valdez, using his monthly member chat, says, I don't know if I can keep donating to you guys after Tua's salary took all my season ticket money. Just kidding. Keep up the good work, fam.
Wow. Dang, man. Getting hard, buddy. Getting hard. Well, we just broke down the numbers. All in all, not that bad. Not going to lie, right? Not as bad as it could have been. Because if you really want to break it down, I mean,
every fan in the fan base got what they thought should happen, except for the people that are just completely off of Tua. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People who don't want Tua as their quarterback at all weren't going to be happy with any scenario. Right. And then everybody else who is either A, willing to accept the team no matter what, B, totally on board with Tua, or C, only care about Tua and what happens to him and don't care about this team at all, and there's plenty of them. For the most part, everybody's happy. I don't see how this was a bad deal. It seems to me that it was a fair contract, and if you break it down in a 5-year sample size for $212 million, because that's the total amount of what money he could earn over the next 5 years, he's only getting $42.4 million a year. That's crazy. So
right, and that will again, that would eventually be lower than the franchise tag,
and we've broken down the contracts for months now. All of these numbers are right around where we thought the deal could get done.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's been a wrong person on this network, dude. From
there hasn't. That's Lewis, why that's
Lewis yep. has been on it the whole way, man.
I mean, yeah, he's a big time Tua ear. Dolphins realtor in chat asking, Cap Color, you guys on Tua? I mean, I pretty certain we've been on.
If you want to segue into camp, we can certainly start talking about at least the first public day of camp.
Are we on Tua or off Tua? I don't remember being off Tua. I remember being very fair and how I wanted to be paid. There was people out here talking he's to be the highest paid quarterback, which is just,
I mean, I'm still an atheist on Tua.
Yeah, I'm not taking the body of Tua and the blood of Tua.
Yeah, but I am also agnostic still, so I don't claim to know that he can't.
Listen, win me a Super Bowl and I'll join your cult, okay?
Right. I'm just not willing to claim to know that he can't. But I just also don't believe that, you know, I don't know. Maybe I am changing a little bit when it comes to belief, but I mean, if I say I believe in him, then there's a whole lot of people, you know, in this community, they're going to expect me
Color.
To prove it.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You're not a dummy, right? So
I just don't want to assume burden of proof. I don't have time to prove that Tua is going to be the guy. You know what I mean?
I'll burden your proof right now for you. Don't worry about it, Color. I'm going to put it like this, Color.
To prove why our team's going to win. You know what I mean?
Well, Color, you've been saying it this whole time. Look, we are in a 3-year window currently. What are the Dolphins going to do? Reset the timeline? Are they going to get somebody new? Or do we even have it? Dolphins, by not drafting a quarterback this year, ultimately force them into this situation to either figure it out or continue to play with fire and disgruntle their quarterback. It was not necessary. Signing him to the next 3 years buys the organization, Tua, everybody, time. Now there's money to be made. Expectations are higher. I told everybody this again. The day Tua signs, the bar gets raised. He plays bad, misses games. Everything's under a bigger microscope, $160-something million microscope and guaranteed, a $53 million a year microscope, the third highest paid quarterback in the NFL microscope, right? Sticker price. So that's what comes with this. Tua and how he's talked after practice and after the signing, he knows it, and I respect that. I like that he's, you know, getting out in front. I'm ready for the next 3 years with Tua. I've already made my mind up. I've known it was coming. It's whether it was the right decision a couple years ago or not, it's the Dolphins have made this work. And he's good. He's good enough. And we're going to find out, is he that good?
And here's Michael K. topping everybody. The Bills fan is topping everybody in 16 months as a member. He made sure of it by being our first member. I think he was our first member or second.
No, because maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, he likes to try to one up all the Dolphin fans around.
He does,
here,
bro. So, it's part of his bag. Anyway,
he says Tuna keeps the window open. That's comedy gold, and we figured it would be for you.
Well,
the bar is not very high to make you laugh, dude.
Well, I'll say this, for Michael K, just so he knows, and here's a, you know, a statistic that really comes back to our biggest gripe with Tua and why the Dolphins needed to where the hell did it go? Oh my God, of course, did I not? Hold on a second. Why the Dolphins, you know, needed to put contingency plans in there for Tua. With health and bonuses, and they've even got a potential out after 2026, you know, stuff like that. The thing we need to see the most is consistency and being on the field and late in football years, winning and getting in the playoffs and winning, which, I mean, there's so many teams, right, that need those things. Because over the last 30 games, when you measure what Tua has done in the last 30 games he's played to what Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills has done in the last 30 games, Tua is better. And I'm going to give you the ratings and everything right now. Last 30 games for Josh Allen, he comes out to 7,575 yards. His completion percentage is 64.1. He's got 55 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, and his passer rating is 92.4. I'm not saying that's terrible, but Tua's is significantly better. Tua has 8,172 yards to Josh Allen's 7,575. His completion percentage is 67.4. His touchdowns are one touchdown lower with 54, but his interceptions are 8 lower with 22, and his passer rating is 102.7, obliterating the 92.4 of Josh Allen. The better passer of the football between those two quarterbacks isn't close. It's just health and success late in the year that Tua needs to put together. That's the final piece, and the Dolphins now have essentially 100% 2024 and 2025, and more than likely for 2026, giving themselves the next two guaranteed, potentially three guaranteed years to find out whether Tua is a guy that can win with that type of production late in the year, can win with that type of production late in the season, in the playoffs and beyond, and hopefully to a Super Bowl. That's what we've come to the conclusion. Let's now move on to camp for the last 30 minutes of the show. But before we do, guys, make sure you're hitting the like button, subscribing if you're new. If you're watching on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, wherever, if you're listening on the Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on all the other podcast networks, come over here to YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, check out some of the older content. And if you guys are wondering, wherever you're listening, how do you find everything with the Finn's Tailgate? Go to tftgnetwork.com. Check out all the swag, all the cool gear, all the merch, and it'll help you find everything we're doing and what we're going to be doing and everything like that.
Get ready to dive into a new role of online shopping with the Finn's Tailgate. Whether you're a diehard sports fan or just looking for the latest fashion trends, we've got you covered. With a wide variety of products from your favorite sports teams to stylish accessories and home decor, we're your one-stop shop for all things tailgate. Our easy-to-use website and hassle-free checkout process make shopping with us a breeze. Plus, with frequent sales and discounts, you won't want to shop anywhere else. So come on in and join the party at the Finn's Tailgate, your new go-to destination for all things tailgate.
Make sure you guys are checking out tftgnetwork.com to find all of the stuff we got going on, all the shows, Shake Money, Lou, new member, Mr. Polk, Ali getting back in the swing of things, Color going to be doing the Color commentary, Coffee with a Cup of Color. Wait till you guys see what we got planned. Listen in, like, share, subscribe. Shout out to Shake Money member and family member in here, Wide Right and Wide Right, the sequel. All are my favorite. Taking a shot back at Michael K here in the live chat.
Michael, you're YouTube. 4 months behind Shake Money.
Yeah, get you with
touch
it.
Shake Money, bro.
Get with it. So a couple days of practice have happened in between now and last time we were on. Some of the other guys and some of the other shows have been talking about it a little bit. There has been some reports coming out about practice in the meantime, but Color was live at the practice today along with some other friends of the show and stuff like that, and reports coming out about it today. You know, we get to have some of the stuff live in front of the fans and you know, and media people, and we're going to report on it the best we can. But Color, before I go into some of the older stuff that I want to talk about that's happened coming out, some of the beat writers and things like that, what'd you see today?
Well, did I mention it was really freaking hot?
Yeah, I thought I heard something about it being hot out there, but
oh my god, it was hot, bro. It had to have been the hottest day we've had so far this summer. But I will say this. Tua came out, fired up the crowd. Everybody knows that. And I will say that he is, in his own corny way, he is carrying himself out there as if this is all clockwork and everything's right on schedule for him. You know what I mean? So whether he's, whether that's somewhat of a Pascal's wager, I don't know. You know what I mean? But like, in other words, act like you believe till you do. I'm not really sure, but he definitely thinks he's the guy, you know, and carried himself as such all practice. Let me get him out of the way really quick, just because, look, first of all, I want to make it clear that it's just like, I mean, the first public day, they're not, it's not like they're showing us a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. Let me say that again, so I'm clear. Take it with a grain of salt. Everything I say about everybody, every player.
Yeah, chill out, people.
I mean, it. You know, I'm just relaying what he witnessed with his eyes.
Yeah, relax. You know? So, with that said, Color, I do want to.
It looks fantastic, dude. As far as his build, the way he looks. He's like, I don't think he's, it doesn't look like he's lost any weight. He's like bigger, but not fat.
Addition by subtraction?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, the guy looks really strong. And, you know, throughout the day, warm-ups, 7-on-7s, even the 11-on-11s, I'm constantly looking for, you know, I'm like, balls in the air. Let's see how short it comes. No, bro. His balls are all out in front of everybody today. You know what I mean? Throwing dimes in the end zone. I think he completed a fade route for a touchdown, which.
Yeah, it was to Tyreek. I seen that.
Why are we practicing? No, it was to. That's one thing I want to get
Braxton
to.
In a Berrios had a nice route in the end zone.
There was one to Braxton, but there was also one to Braylon Edwards, I think.
Hmm.
I don't remember him being out there, but it very well could have been. I'm just saying, some nice. And again, here's the thing. I want to report. Look, Tua looked great. You know, threw one terrible interception that would have went the other way, you know. But again, it's, you know, underwear Olympics. You know what I mean? But it did happen. But for the most part, his passes, he's dropping dimes all day. And I also want to give that credit to what I'm starting to believe is going to be his backup, Skylar Thompson, who's throwing dimes all over the field today too.
You mentioned a little bit about that backstage that, you know, here's an interesting thing, right? And we've been doing these videos. I've been releasing them about camp battles to watch out for. I haven't gotten to the quarterbacks yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and talk now here live. An interesting quarterback battle to pay attention to is Skylar Thompson and Mike White, because to me, the Dolphins can ill afford to carry three quarterbacks on this roster again on the 53. They've got to carry only 52 two quarterbacks so they can, you know, add addition in areas that I have concern about personally, like the safety position, like you know, the D line, you know, pass rusher, depending on whether or not Chubb or Phillips is ready week one, which probably isn't likely, right? Maybe they can be.
That's one thing I can get to.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but still, no matter what, right? Whether they're running well or not, Dolphins might want to play it a little safe and at least have, you know, more depth across the D line, across the O line with all the questions we have at the guard positions. All of this potential depth that they could need in so many positions to carry a third quarterback doesn't make sense. And the best way that that could come to solve the problem is Skylar Thompson steps up and solidifies himself.
Money wise, that would be the best for us. Absolutely.
Money and cap and roster wise.
Right.
You know? So tell me, what did you see from Skylar?
Well, here's the thing. And I want to make this could be reversed tomorrow for all I know. In other words, it could be a back and forth. I don't know. But I will say that last year, the first day that the public was able to go to camp, they had Mike White and Tua during warmups throwing to the main receivers on the near field in front of the stands with Mike McDaniel standing around and all that. And they had Skyler on the far field throwing warm-ups to all the rookies and, you know, threes and fours and all them. And today's first public practice was exactly the opposite. Skyler Thompson was hip and hip with Tua all day with the ones and twos all day long in rotation with Tua while Mike White was cleaning up.
Now, I went to camp last year, and I don't think it was the first day of camp that we went, but I know I went to one or two of the days, and that's what I seen too. It was Tua and Mike White, and Skyler Thompson was obviously a third man on the totem pole. So that, to context wise,
today, at least today, again, this could change tomorrow, but at least today, it looked like Mike White was the third wheel.
Which, again, like is good without for the being, Dolphins.
Without being like some other people and calling him trash, he was definitely the third wheel.
It's not necessary. Roster-wise, future-wise, cap-wise, and whatever other thing, it'll benefit the Dolphins to only carry two quarterbacks and one being under a rookie contract for Lalolo, a guy that they brought in here. So, to me, that's now if Skyler can't get it done, whatever, and they got to carry three or it's only Mike White over Skyler, that'll be telling too. A camp battle to watch out for. So, right. There is some other
and
stuff.
And while I say that Skyler definitely came in under Tua today,
of course, I would assume so.
It was very slightly to, in other words, to say that Skyler threw some beautiful throws today. He had some beautiful passes today, dude. Like, for real. You know what I mean? We got to stop this nonsense that he's just straight garbage, man. You know what I mean?
I've seen Skyler Thompson in practice and in preseason, and he throws a pretty nice freaking football, bro.
Tony's question marking me. I don't know, Tony. Maybe I didn't. I mean, I thought his passes were just fine, bro. I don't know, man. Yeah, there's a few that got tipped out, some good defensive hustle and, you know, whatnot. Yeah, that happened to everybody. But I just don't think that when it came down to watching balls drop in front of guys, I mean, Skyler was fine today, bro. There's no reason. If they're looking to save money by cutting bait with Mike White, then Skyler made a case today that we'd be safe in doing that.
So, anyhow, another thing we'll continue, and Color's going to be at plenty of the camp to get his eyes on it,
Tony was there too, I'm sure, so he may have a different eye test than me. I'm not trying to disparage his opinion, you know what I mean, and what he knows he saw, you know what I mean? I'm
Tony,
just saying,
put it in chat. If you were at the camp in chat, put that you were there. But okay, so I do have some questions, right? Because
I got what he's saying. He's saying Mike White was not quite the third wheel that I'm saying he is, and that's fair. You know, I can see people think there was a lot of just minutia today, a lot of handoffs, man. I mean, it wasn't like a huge, you know, spectacular showing by everybody. Everybody did what they needed to do. I just wasn't feeling it on Mike White today, man.
So a couple of guys
I like him.
I've been hearing about, and I think about, you know, another video going to be coming out about the outside linebacker unit and stuff like that, inside linebacker unit and the depth in there and what the Dolphins will do, whether they'll put some guys on IR, whether, you know, whatever. Mo Kamara, newly re-signed Emmanuel Ogba, outside linebacker Quentin Bell, you know, guys like this, Chop Robinson, from what I'm understanding, he looks like a freak athlete, but he's being... you know, kind of showed up like one of the big standouts so far that I've got reported on is some of these other dudes. One of them being one of the big standouts was Grayson Murphy, who was electric in college, right? He had the most pressures of any outside linebackers coming out of UCLA and UDFA guy. Mo Camara, a guy the Dolphins picked up late in the draft this year, also had tons of pressures. The motor on these guys. What have you seen outside the linebacker, in the outside linebacking slash pass rushing room, to, you know, because I don't know. I don't think we're going to have Chubb and Phillips at the beginning of the year. So these other guys who very well may get some snaps. What do you think of this unit, these young guys?
Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't like honing in on them other than overall pressure. And yeah, all three quarterbacks were under a little heat today. Yeah, that could be because of offensive line, sure. Partly, you know, but at the same time, they were getting in the backfield, man. I wasn't going individual numbers on defensive line today myself. But as far as Phillips goes, you know, I've been one to say that I think he would surprise people and be ready a lot sooner than people think. And I'm already retracting. I'm backpedaling on that a little bit, bro, because,
oh, really?
Yeah, he came down to chill along the sideline to watch the practice most of the day. Mom loved it. She absolutely loves Phillips. He's her Adonis, right? Bro. You know what I mean? So,
bro, he's everybody's Adonis. The guy is crazy.
But I could noticeably see the atrophy in his leg compared to his other leg, like the muscle atrophy from not being able to work it out and whatnot. It is noticeably like straighter looking, less defined, less cut. There's definitely some major muscle atrophy in his leg that is going to probably take a lot longer than the first week of the season to strengthen up. I was probably wrong about that. It is going to take a little longer for him to get there. When it comes to people thinking it would be mid-season, yeah, easily. Because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe when it's all a go on the tendon, maybe it's easy to get that muscle mass back up, but you could definitely see the difference between the two legs, man.
But, you know, that it's not the worst case in it, right? The Dolphins.
But he's still hopping around like it don't hurt. So,
of course, you know, he does, because I wouldn't expect anything less from Jalen Phillips. The guy is an animal, right? But the Dolphins got to protect some weakness. The Dolphins have to protect him from himself, and they have to protect themselves because he's their investment, right? And this young man's coming into his fourth year. You know, this is a year in which he can solidify by getting paid, just like his, you know, Jalen Waddle got paid this year. You know, he wants to get paid as well. He's going to get his time. Dolphins need to protect him from himself, I think, and in which case leaves the door open for additional depth, as well as, like I said, to me, the Dolphins are going to take that one less quarterback on the roster and apply it to either the safety position or the pass rusher position. Now, they might not need to if they put somebody on IR, you know, or put somebody on a PUP list or something like that. You know, there's like a Cameron Good pass rusher last year who got injured. I don't think anyone would pick him up if he was still injured.
Oh, by the way,
Dolphins. Yeah,
he was out there. All three of them, him, Phillips, Chubb, and Good, were all standing on the sideline today, man.
That's right. So probably say they don't put Good on the 53-man roster. They have to put the other guys.
I really,
you know what I'm saying? But they're going to see what shakes out with guys like Murphy and, you know, Quentin Bell and stuff like that. Maybe one of them makes the roster in lieu of Cameron Good, who made it last year. And then they could pick up Cameron Good and put him back on the practice squad or put him on a PUP or an IR.
I think he's still an unknown enough to where he'd be safe. You know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
Which is right? Good for us, because he is.
Plus being injured, right? Plus being injured. So no one's going to pick up an injured player and put him on an injury list, taking up a spot for a guy they don't know. So the Dolphins can play a little gamemanship here with the guys they have hurt to the guys they have potentially here to replace, and how they're going to manipulate this roster, 53-man roster cut to get to the 53, to then how they're going to add people on the practice squad, who they're going to move to IR. I got to imagine that if Jalen Phillips is at the point where you're talking about, Bradley Chubb's got to be there too, being a little bit older, having knee injury. You know, what did you see on Bradley Chubb? Kind of the same?
Pretty much. And as good as well. Good, you could notice the difference between his two legs. Chubb is just an all-around big guy. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to really see it, you know. See,
he's a little bit more stout than the other guys.
Right, and there's a lot less lack of symmetry, or more symmetry, I should say. You know what I mean? But, again, reports from people on the ground, you know, through Twitter saying that all that stuff I'm seeing getting into the backfield was Chop Robinson. So, apparently, he's doing really good. You know, they're getting numbers on that. I didn't take down numbers, but I did witness people getting in the backfield quite a bit. And if they're saying that was Chop on Twitter, then I have no reason to dispute what they're saying. You know what I mean?
So it was Braylon Sanders that caught that touchdown at the end zone. It was also,
I think Malik might have had one too, bro. In 7-on-7, so when they first started challenging the DBs, I think Malik might have got one.
Javon Holland had an interception off a deflection by Zach Sealer on Tua. Again, Grayson Murphy messed up a handoff to Jalen Wright from Mike White. Now there is something that I did hear about Cam Smith.
That was running back Grayson. Oh no, that was the center. You're saying?
No. Grayson Murphy forced a bad exchange.
Oh, forced it. Oh, the guy that forced it. Right. Yeah.
He's.
Yeah, I remember that one distinctly.
What happened with Cam Smith today? I heard he left practice early.
He left early enough that I didn't even really get a good look at him. I just didn't happen to get a good look at him. I was fixated on Ramsey, dude.
There was reports that he was noticeably limping when he left too. So
yeah,
Cam Smith needs to get it together, bro.
I know that Cater was the guy that got eaten up by Berrios on that touchdown everybody's seen.
Yeah, Kader Coho did get worked a little bit. But Berrios is a sharp route runner, right? Like, that's what he should be doing.
So, well, he had a few. I mean, bro. He had that touchdown, but I don't think Berrios was having the greatest day, man, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
I mean, Craycraft's still the guy, bro. I mean, Craycraft was solid all day.
Yeah, Craig Craft,
he always is, man.
He's always solid.
Tony's saying that Cam Smith looks like a hamstring or something.
Well, hopefully it was just like cramping or something from fluids or something like that. Hopefully it was nothing too serious.
Yeah, I didn't happen to catch it.
I mean, I know we signed Fuller in the offseason to opposite Ramsey. And, you know, until someone proves otherwise, it's going to be Kader Kohu in the slot. But, you know, Cam Smith, we need him as this rotation guy. We need him to start, you know, making an impact. And, you know, second rounder that, you know, a little bit of a reach, but not too much. The guy has tons of athleticism. We haven't gotten anything back on our investment, right?
Nope. And you know what I saw today? Really pained me.
What's that?
I've been asking the question and I thought he just washed out, but the guy that was best on board the night we drafted Cam Smith was also a corner by the name of, what was his name? Tyreek Christensen?
Mm-hmm.
Or Christensen?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the UM.
Oh, yeah. No,
they've been showing clips of him locking down receivers with Chicago all day today on Twitter, man. I'm like, so basically, I finally got the update I've been looking for. The dude's balling out.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We can never get hurricanes like that, bro. Why?
I don't know, man. So a little bit of a stock up, stop down stock up and down report from Omar Kelly from today's practice. He said Holland had two impactful plays on Sunday's session, broke up a deep ball thrown to Devon Achane from Tua, while could have also been a drop. Holland deserves some recognition for his position to defend the long ball during 11-on-11s. Zach Sealer tiptoed close to the line of scrimmage, or tipped one close to the line of scrimmage. That was the one he grabbed. Chasen Hines, a guy that I talked about on one of the previous camp battle, a guy that, you know, we're going to see what he can do at the guard position. Mm-hmm. Dude, that you know, New England Patriots drafted last year, and the Dolphins, you know, grabbed him and picked him up on the practice squad. He was owning people on one-on-one reps, they said. And then when they put him on 11-on-11s, he was routinely just grading fools out, you know, just running them up.
Well, I can say this, and again, grain of salt, because it's hard to know whether a running play was actually successful or not, and how much is they're not in pads and really, you know, going.
Yeah, I know. At it, pads, you know what I mean? Pads,
but our running game looked all right today, bro. Our guys were consistently getting in the second level without being touched.
The pads come on tomorrow. So another thing that
includes the rookie
on one on ones, Liam Eichenberg got destroyed by Deshaun Hand. I heard, you know, so he got whipped, and now Deshaun Hand ain't the biggest of freaking defensive nose tackles, right? The only thing is that Aaron Brewer having some snap issues with Tua. Now they're going to be working it out. I'm sure they got to still get a feel for each other. Didn't mean, no pun intended, but Eichenberg not seizing carpe de season. You know what I'm saying?
Right, like,
he needs to get with it, bro. He needs to get with it, man. Cause, Chasen Hines coming in here, going to take one of these guard spots. Also, Jack Driscoll out there looking. The Dolphins brought him in to compete for that spot. Liam Eichenberg's going to make this team because of his ability to be plug and play anywhere. But if he wants to be a starter on this football team, he can't be getting smoked by Deshaun Hand in one-on-ones and getting worked over in 11-on-11s. He's got to get with it, bro. I don't know what his deal is. It seems like the guy just doesn't have an anchor or something, right?
Right.
I don't know. Anyhow.
So real quick, in the limited time we got one important matter to discuss still.
Unless
it's not important, I haven't looked and got the news or as to why yet. We'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
But I want to just really quick report on. I think Malik was practicing today. He wears 83, right?
Yes.
Yes, I believe he was. I think he got a touchdown. The touchdown, like in the short like seven drills, but
7-on-7s.
Right. But it was like red zone stuff. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, it was good. Yeah. Pass,
20
good
yard line, 7-on-7s.
But this running back room, bro, holy shit, bro. That's all I'm going to say, man. Yo, Jalen Wright, just seeing him stand there on the sidelines when they first came out, okay, you had all the running backs next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Achane, obviously, you know, he's short. He's the shortest one. You can easily pick him out.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Wright, dude, like, that dude is a beast, bro. Standing there without no pads on, man, like, he don't even need pads, bro. You know what I mean? He literally looks just like like Devon Achane, but a little taller and bigger. Same exact body shape and everything, bro. And running today, much like Achane.
So he's got that dynamic sidestep and
getting to the second and the third level without being touched or minimally touched. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, just right in. I told you, he's a put together runner. This is not a Chris Brooks, dude. This guy is a put together runner, man. You know what I mean? And we're talking about a guy that is very similar in body type to the likes of Marshawn Lynch and Emmitt Smith. So, man. And Mostert still doing his thing, looking good.
Yeah,
and if that was him with the jersey rolled up where you couldn't see his number, I think that was Mostert.
Probably. And Mostert, plenty of other guys.
Well, number one, Jeff Wilson, once again with the orange jersey on today.
Jeff Wilson's hard to keep off
of football. And did just fine. Yeah. Savon Ahmed had a few good carries too, bro. He's not out of it yet either, believe it or not, even though we all have a feeling that he's the guy gone. You know what I mean?
I only had five in my running back room, including Alec Ingold. The Dolphins carried six last year.
Cooking in the running back
room. If they carry five again, it'll be because of guys like Savon Ahmed, Chris Brooks, Jeff Wilson, all fighting, and them saying, I just can't let these guys off my football team.
And believe it or not, the one thing I actually wanted to focus on today, I didn't. I got no look at Jonnu Smith or Durham. You know, I got really no looks at the tight ends. You know
why? So, like, those guys, along with guys in last practice, were Mostert and who was it? One of the free agent linebackers, the Dolphins, and there's been a little talk on this too. Their sports science department is really, really doing a lot this year. They do not want the fatigue and the injuries and the tiredness at the end of the season, because let's face it, these other guys, they're playing, they're coming down to South Florida now and again. When you live in South Florida and you play in South Florida and everything like that, the calories, the energy, it just gets drained right from you. That sun, that type of fatigue.
Bro, it was 95 degrees at 9:30 this morning.
It just affects you so much differently. And what it appears to be that the sports science medicine people are doing now, because they've always kind of done this stuff. We've seen them wear the monitors over the years. Some were wearing like these packs that were measuring their fluids, and they would come up. They got these wristbands. They just click it. They're all wearing these wristbands now. They just click it over, and it tells them all the diagnostics on their body. They got all this stuff that they're doing now, and they're learning from years of data that they've been getting down here in South Florida. Now, if you guys remember, they hired all these super like high expensive soccer guys to start this program about 10 years ago. Now it's been some time. And now they're trying to work on this longevity fatigue that we're seeing, that they're attributing to, you know, hopefully these late season collapses, and holding out guys like Mostert, holding out guys like Jordy Nelson, guys that we don't need to see it from, right? Jordy Nelson got money. He got paid. Jonnu Smith, excuse me. Durham Smythe, he's under contract.
Right.
What am I going to ask and need to see from Mostert? Now, we do need continuity. We do need certain things worked out and stuff like that, but we got to also be smart about it.
Yeah, and you did see a lot of passes going to Alec Ingold today. Like, he was really in the mix today a lot and doing well, good. I might add.
Well, probably because with Durham Smythe and Jonnu Smith out, he becomes that pass option in the game. Right. So it's a good time with them missing time due to the sports medicine deal that they're doing and how they're trying to prevent fatigue. They insert a real live game scenario. What if both tight ends are down and we still need that option? Well, here's our guy, Alec Ingold. It gives them some gamemanship along the way as well. So
now the other thing, if you weren't finished.
No, go ahead.
Where was Tyreek today?
Probably in the same boat, Color. Probably in the
exact. Do we know why he sat out? He was not even out there, bro.
Did he sit out?
He was nowhere to be. I did not see number 10 all day today. Not even out there. Not even just chilling out there.
Hmm. Well, maybe it's the same scenario, right? Like, they're, I don't know. Maybe he had an excuse or something. Maybe it was excuse for practice.
Could he be at the desk right now talking?
Well, we did predict that around here, that shortly after the Tua Tagovailoa deal was inked and done, that Tyreek Hill contract.
Jimmy says probably in court. That's wrong, Jimmy.
Damn, Jimmy. Why you got to do that? Why you got to say that, Jimmy?
jury duty, right?
Yeah, he's got jury duty. You know, there's you know, could be a million reasons. A day in which, I mean, where's Teron Armstead in all this, right? He's never there. He don't, he ain't going any of that.
Well, there could be a million reasons. But I've seen him, I mean, to not be out there at all.
Well, remember, too, Tua was celebrating his, you know, show me the money contract and all that good stuff. That was today, too.
Well, I just didn't know if maybe they said something like, oh, it was a planned day off or.
Probably. You know, no, I haven't seen anything about it. I'm not worried.
You might be talking to the man, bro.
I don't know. Maybe he is. Again, that Tyreek Hill. Right now, the Dolphins have him under contract through the 2026 season, but the money's the cap hit in 2025 is doable.
Joe comes in with the maternity ward comment. He had to go to the maternity ward.
So Tony's saying Johnny Smith was out there. And Tyreek Hill didn't have his jersey while he was out there.
I didn't. He definitely didn't because I was looking for him. I didn't happen to see a guy that short in civvies out there today. So I just missed it.
So yeah, there's a more eyewitness reports coming from Tua or Tua from Color. Sorry, Color. I just made you him.
I am him. I mean, me and Tua were like kindred spirit, bro.
So. We're going to get some more of that.
We were both working, George Washington in a former life.
Working on another person in the building out there on getting some footage along with some eyewitness reports from some other people outside of Color that I'll put some notes to. And then, you know, we'll bring Color up and do some more reporting and maybe we'll have some video to back it up from another source. But, you know, there's some good stuff. Dude, we're in football now, Color. It's on.
Well, I mean, as camp keeps going on and as I go to more days, I'm going to be getting down out of them stands and looking at dirt level. I mean, I'm going to be getting down there and looking from the other views and all that. Yeah, that's how I roll at camp. I work myself in. Today was so hot. I didn't want to do nothing but sit up in that.
Color, you need to bring an umbrella, dog.
Top level in the shade, man.
Color, bring an umbrella. Bring an umbrella for some shade. Yeah, bring an umbrella for some shade. Get one of them fans and attach it to the umbrella that blow on you. So you're holding the umbrella and it's blowing the fan on you. I know how to deal with this. That's how it's done.
Right on.
So
yeah, I'll be getting down there near the end zone and seeing stuff from ground level and really getting an inside look, you know, for myself, you know, as far as, you know, a lot of the red zone drills are really fun to watch down at that level.
Yeah, it'll be nice. And, you know, we'll have some more reporting. We're in it now, everybody.
Tony's a diehard too. I'm sure I'll be able to see him there somewhere.
Well, Tony, if you're going to be there, we need to link up and, you know,
I'd like to get his opinion in real time as we're watching. I'd like to see where what he's thinking while he's seeing it. You know what I mean? Because
Tony, if you're there and Color's there, link up with the homie.
A lot of times our eye tests are a little bit, you know, seeing a different perspective because we both go to camp. And it's like he's seeing something I'm not seeing. Maybe I'm seeing something he's not, vice versa. You know, and it'd just be interesting to hear him talk out what he's seeing like while he's there. That'd just be fun to sit next to him.
So yeah, I'll tell you what, guys, if you are at camp, flag down Color. He's gonna be there. So Color, maybe wear the Color commentary hat so they could spot.
Well, I had it on today.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Color will wear.
I was trying to go incognito, but I couldn't help it. I had to wear the Color Com hat. You know?
Wear the Color Com hat. You guys can spot him. Color Com hat, TFTG Network, right there has this symbol. I'm gonna put you on solo so you can see it, guys. You see anyone walking around with that on their hat, that is Color walking around with the Color Com hat, tftgnetwork.com.
Yeah, so, and if I do go incognito, look for a St. Louis Cardinals hat.
Yeah, that'll stand out.
That's how I roll when I don't want nobody to know I'm around.
You should sit next to Alan Poupart with the Expos hat and the St. Louis Cardinals hat. You guys could look like two people out of... two baseball
totally
guys.
Out of place.
Yeah, what are you doing here? Yeah, what are you guys doing?
We're here metrics guys. We're here to see what we can sell to the team, you know.
That's right. So yeah, I appreciate everybody coming. Hit the like button, if subscribe if you're new, share this video. You know, get in the comment sections after the video. Let us know what you guys think of Tua's contract. If you guys are listening on X, on Facebook, Twitch, podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever, come over to YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and you know, we'll see you guys next time. Fins up.